today on Jeff's Podcast.
The next few weeks on the podcast, I'm going to be doing a series on my brand new book that was just released 2 weeks ago Friday, entitled Mindemic: How Faith Can Help Us Overcome the Anxiety and Depression Crisis in America. I want to thank you for helping us make it number 2 on the Amazon Kindle bestsellers list during our free promotion in the mental illness category. The more you share it, the more you share my posts, the more you share this podcast, the more you can help me get the word out. This book has evolved into something that I didn't realize it was going to evolve in. It evolved into a lot of research. It evolved into a subject that is extremely difficult to talk about. The book originally was going to be called It Hurts to Heal. It was a title that just came out of one particular podcast that I did last year. And the whole purpose of the book was talk about the process of healing as the scripture sees it. And there's so much information in the scripture about healing and the process of healing that sometimes we get stuck on certain doctrines of healing and we don't really study the subject and look into the healing miracles of Jesus and really dig into the meat of what healing is all about. Sometimes healing requires something of you, and that's the process. Once you are healed, you cannot continue to put yourself in position to continue to be sick and hurt. You have to get yourself out of the environment that contributed to your wound. And the thing about this book is that it deals with pain that you can't see. You can't point anywhere on your body and say, this is where it hurts. And that's tough to talk about because a lot of questions arise. Well, is this a medical thing? Is this a mental illness? Is this just psychological? Is it emotional? You know, is it spiritual? And a lot of people have had a lot of different ideas about what anxiety and depression is and where it lives and how to get free from it. And so this book, for the first time in my writing career, has been professionally published. I was contacted out of the blue on LinkedIn by a man by the name of Tom Freiling, who is the CEO and founder of Freiling Publishing in Virginia. And he just kind of reached out to me. He probably saw one of my self-published books on the internet, and I didn't really do a whole lot with it other than just exchange pleasantries with him. But I just felt checked in my spirit to reach back out to him, and I did, and I pitched my idea, and he lent his professional experience and expertise into my creative process. Trust me, I'm really not all that creative. But when he did, it began to change. And I told him, I said, I have self-published my first two books. This time I want to go big league with it because I believe what I have in my heart to put on paper is something that people need to hear, they need to read about. It's information that'll help them heal from what I call intangible pain. And so that's where the title came from. He said, I'm not crazy about the title. Of course, he was coming from a publisher's standpoint. His expertise is selling books, packaging and marketing and all those kinds of things. And so he and I began to talk and brainstorm, and I came up with this title, Mindemic. Obviously, it's a play on words from the word pandemic, because everyone knows that word. It's a word that you hear every single day and have since, you know, February or so of last year in 2020. And so we took that and I turned it into the play on words being mindemic and how the pandemic of the mind is in anxiety and depression. And it really is. The anxiety and depression numbers globally are almost double what the pandemic infection numbers are around the world today. Think about that. 264 million people around the globe say that they suffer from anxiety. 264 million people suffer from depression. So it really is a problem of pandemic proportions, but it's not something you can be vaccinated for. It's not something that you can wear mask and prevent yourself from getting it. It's not something you can protect yourself from by PPE. It's something that is widespread. I consider it contagious because depression begets depression, and anxiety brings anxiety. And when you get around someone like that, that mindset, their attitude, their spirit, it can jump off on you, so to speak, if you're not careful. So this is where this book came from. And so I had already written half of it, but I had to kind of morph it into more of a holistic approach. And what I mean by that is it was just meant to be a faith book, and it turned into a faith and science book. And so that's where we came up with the title Mindemic, how faith can help us overcome the anxiety and depression crisis in America. I had the privilege of meeting and interviewing two doctors, one being a retired family practitioner in the state of Maine. He lives in a suburb of Portland, Maine. He wrote an article for the, he's a DO, a doctor of osteopathic medicine. It's basically a doctor just like an MD with a different approach to medicine. And he wrote an article that caught my attention called Soul Sickness. The subtitle was The Often Missed Diagnosis, and he began to talk about how this phenomenon of soul sickness, this phrase he coined, came from seeing so many patients that had unexplained physical issues in their body, unexplained pain. They were basically dealing with what a psychiatrist would call depression and anxiety, but it was just a loss of the patient's hope. And he said that he wouldn't classify them as depressed or anxious. They were simply suffering from soul sickness. And he said that the cure for soul sickness, in his article, was the restoration of the patient's morale and hope. So, man, when I read that, I got excited because my mind went to scripture that says that hope is the anchor of the soul, right? And so I reached out to this doctor. He was gracious enough to give me an interview. His interview is in the book. It's powerful. And I will say, and I don't think he would mind me saying this, his faith differs from mine. But we found several commonalities in this subject of soul sickness. We have different words for different things, but it's the same premise. The other doctor that I interviewed, his name kept popping up in my research as I began to start digging into the subject of faith and mental health. Now, these two things you don't hear in the same sentence a lot, but faith and mental health really are connected. His name is Dr. Harold G. Koenig. He is the director for the Center for Spirituality, Theology, and Health at Duke University. He is a psychiatrist, a medical doctor, a psychiatrist by profession. He's a professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Duke. He is a associate professor of medicine, and literally his resume is over 100 pages long. So I can't give you all of his credentials, but I can tell you this. If you want to see some of his credentials, get the book. They're in the book. It really takes me two pages to summarize his qualifications. But Dr. Koenig is the guy that back in the 80s was beginning to talk about the marriage, the remarriage of faith and mental health. And even back then, he was criticized by his colleagues and peers. And he shared something with me in the interview, and through some of his material, I had the opportunity to interview him as well. He wrote the foreword for the book, and he shared with me that mental health has had a certain flavor for the last 100 years because of the writings of Sigmund Freud, who is said to be the father of psychiatry, that Sigmund Freud believed that faith in God was a neurosis. In other words, it was a mental illness. And that is kind of the overbearing tone, the overbearing frequency of the mental health field. They don't want to have anything to do with hell, with faith. They don't want to have anything to do with spirituality. They don't want to have anything to do with God. And Dr. Koenig, who is a born-again believer, began to really put that subject together. So he told me, he said, you know, back before modern mental health care, who was it that helped people with their emotional pain, with their psychological pain, with their anxiety and depression and fear and all of those things? It was the church. He said, before modern mental health care came along, people went to their pastors, they went to their church, they went to their faith family to get help. Did you know that clergy provides almost as much counseling in the United States as the entire membership of the American Psychological Association, American Psychiatric Association, excuse me. Think about that. Clergy provides as much pastoral counseling, as much counseling as the American Psychiatric Association. Think about that. That's powerful. It means that faith and mental health have always been connected, even before Freud came along and became the father of psychiatry and turned the entire discipline away from faith and spirituality and trust in God. In fact, if you go back a few centuries, it was religious organizations that were responsible for licensing physicians to practice. The Catholics built the very first mental hospital in London. So mental health care and faith have been connected long before there was this modern machine of mental health care. And so Dr. Koenig really opened my eyes to that and gave me great insight into the fact that before doctors came along and began to specialize in mental health, people were turning to God for their health. And so this book begins to capsulize this idea of the remarriage of faith and mental health care. Anxiety and depression is something that 1 in 10 Americans said they suffered from prior to the pandemic. Now listen to this. Since the pandemic, that number has gone up 400%. 4 in 10 Americans say that they suffer from anxiety and depression. And the reason I use those two interchangeably is because they have overlapping symptoms. And even doctors will tell you that sometimes when they're trying to diagnose something, they call it anxiety and depression because they don't know which one it is necessarily because of the overlapping symptoms. There are 4 main ones, but Dr. Parakis said, I would just diagnose them with anxiety and depression when I gave that diagnosis because I didn't know which was which because of it is such a huge problem. So 4 in 10 Americans now say in 2021 that they suffer from anxiety or depression. Here's something else that's startling. You thought that opioids was the number one problem in terms of drug addiction. 1 in 6 Americans take antidepressants. 1 in 6 Americans take antidepressants. In fact, in 2020, the antidepressant cash haul, for lack of a better term, was $28 billion. $28 billion was the revenue from antidepressants globally. And by the way, opioids was only $18 billion. Antidepressants are the second most prescribed type of drug in the United States. What does that tell you? It tells me that people are hurting. People are struggling. People are afraid. People are anxious. And again, the difference between fear and anxiety, fear is the is just a primal defense reaction to a known problem, a known danger. It becomes anxiety when it's unknown. And if we've ever lived in a time and a season where we are dealing with the unknown, it's now. We don't know when this pandemic is going to completely go away. We don't know when or if things will ever completely be back to normal for us in our lives because of this issue. Obviously, and thankfully now, things are starting to open up and things are, I've been able to go out and see what I saw before the pandemic now in terms of the social interaction of people like I never have before. It excites me. I'm glad we're coming out of this, aren't you? But people are just, people are hurting and struggling and they are anxious because of the unknown, and depression, by the way, comes from anxiety. Proverbs said that anxiety brings depression in the heart of man, but a good word makes it glad. You can't get a good word by turning on the news. It doesn't matter whether you're liberal or conservative. You cannot get a good word according to what the scripture would call a good word, what Solomon may call a good word. You can't get a good word turning on the news. You can't get a good word watching television. You can't get a good word on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or Twitch or Snapchat. You can't get a good word. The only place you're going to get a good word is from the Word of God. And so I encourage you to begin to change the diet of information in your life.
Thanks for tuning in today. Remember to subscribe to the podcast on any major podcast platform or Jeff's YouTube channel. For more information about this ministry, visit us at jeffwolf.org. Just released is Jeff's newest book, 10 Reasons Why. You can get it free by texting the keyword RESTORED to 833-649-1545. Message and data rates may apply. We'll see you next week. Be blessed.